Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been discussing the 8 secrets of lasting influence. How do we impact the hearts of our loved ones, our children, our friends? Number one, modeling. Number two, open communication. Number three, time. Today, we are going to discuss intimacy. Now, you will notice something. All of these principles, from beginning up to the fourth principle, are all related. In other words, all of these principles are to be applied. You cannot pick and choose. The principle of modeling, children copy us, whether you like it or not. The principle of open communication. You need to have open communication to open the hearts of our loved ones. You need to spend time. And when you apply all of this, it will eventually lead to intimacy. What is the principle of intimacy? This is the principle. The closer the relationship, the greater the influence. Let me repeat. The closer the relationship, the greater the influence. The Bible is very clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Do you notice? It's a warning. Do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Bad company. People that you spend time with, people that you are close with, people that you are intimate with, sooner or later will impact your life. It will corrupt good morals. Therefore, what do we mean by intimacy? Well, the word intimacy has the idea of closeness, close familiarity, deep friendship, mutual vulnerability. So when you are intimate with somebody, there is a sense of openness. There's a sense of feeling that you are loved, that you are appreciated. This amazing feeling transcends others. What do I mean? It is being known and yet experiencing acceptance. It is one thing to be loved and not known. But it's another thing to be known and be loved. Intimacy is such an idea. You are known and you are loved. You're accepted. You are appreciated. The relationship is transparent. You don't need to hide. Intimacy. God made us for relationship. We all desire deep relationship. To be loved but not completely known is superficial. To be known and not loved is painful. You feel rejected. To be fully known and to still be fully loved is empowering. That is how God loves us, and that's how He wants us to love one another. Remember, we were created for relationship. We were created for intimacy. And if our children do not experience that intimacy, if they do not find that intimacy at home, they will sooner or later gravitate to others, to their friends. And before you know it, you will have lost your influence. God made us for relationship. He made us for intimacy. And you experience that intimacy through Christ, through God's unconditional love and acceptance. So the principle is this: the quality of our relationship determines the weight of the influence. Psychologists have discovered one of the greatest pressures that's impacting the lives of teenagers is called peer pressure. In Tagalog, it's called barkada. the closer children are to their parents, the less they are influenced by their peers. This is something parents must understand. The closer children are to parents, the less they are influenced by their peers, by their friends, and vice versa. Years ago, when my son was about to join the varsity team, one of their initiations is to drink and get drunk. But by the grace of God, he was able to refuse. What made him stand against the pressure? He made a promise to his sisters. They have close relationship. My son had close relationships with us. And above all, he had a relationship with God. He wanted to please God. That's the power of intimacy. Who is influencing our children today? Who is influencing your life today? Whether you like it or not, the world, the media, the school, our friends, they're all exerting influence in the lives of young people today, including your own life. Biological relationship does not guarantee good relationship. Just because you're the father, just because you're the mother, does not mean you will have good relationship with your children. Remember this principle. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Truth without relationship will lead to rejection. That is why intimacy is crucial. When you and I want to impact the hearts of our children, the hearts of our friends, make sure you develop relationship. Jesus knew this. That's why Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You must see the heart of God. God wants us to know that intimacy with him is crucial. Same principle. Because you love the Lord and you know he loves you, what's going to happen? You will want to obey him. You see, obedience is basically the overflow of our love relationship with Jesus and with God. And can you imagine if your children will learn to love you, parents, your children will obey you. And if your children will learn to love the Lord, our children will obey the Lord. You see, God made us for relationship. God's design in the beginning is for relationship. That's why he made the family. We are social beings. It is natural for us to want to be part of a group, to be accepted. And that's why family is crucial. And that's why God invented the church, the spiritual family. The spiritual family is where we find love, intimacy. Why? For some people, they have dysfunctional physical family, and God says, "Don't worry, I have a spiritual family." Today, many people are loners. Why? They don't understand community living. They don't have that experience. Some of us have been hurt by abusive parents, abusive friends. And because you want to protect yourself emotionally, you will distance yourself from others. The fear of rejection, the fear of being hurt again. So you build a wall around you. You don't want intimacy. Or the fear of losing control. Because you fear that by being vulnerable, people will take advantage of you. Do you know it is Satan's ploy to keep you wanting to be alone and not be part of a community? You know, the Bible gives us the solution. There are over 100 verses that talks about one another. Love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, bear one another's burden, forgive one another. All of these another verses. You cannot comply with all of these commands unless you are part of a small group. And that's why I believe small group discipleship begins at home. Apply this in your home life. Apply this in your small group. Apply this as you disciple your friends. How do you develop intimacy? How do you develop deep relationship? May I suggest, be intentional. Focus on the heart. Why? Many parents are sincere, but sincerely wrong. They want to influence their children through intimidation. You see, when your kids are small, it's very easy to intimidate them. You raise your voice, scolding, by shouting. Many times, as they grow older, we want to influence them through money. As they grow older, if you're not careful, you may use inheritance as a means of manipulating them. These are not the best way to influence the hearts of your children. What you want to do is to influence their hearts. And that means you got to connect emotionally. It's like courtship. How do you court somebody? How do you connect emotionally? Remember what I've shared with you? To connect emotionally, you have to do what we have learned in the past. The principle of modeling. Why? Because modeling will earn respect. That's winning the hearts of your children. Next, open communication. Why? Because open communication will help you know what are the fears, what are the hopes of your children. Open communication will allow you to know what's going on in their hearts. And that's why it is part and parcel of developing intimacy. What about time? You need time. Why? Because time will help you develop experiential intimacy. Maybe this is your first time to hear that term. You have to know there are different kinds of intimacy. Biological intimacy. Parents, children. Then you have emotional intimacy. Feeling, sharing. Then you have experiential intimacy. When you do things together. Do you notice the principles of what you've been learning tackle all of these kinds of intimacy? And the most important, spiritual intimacy. Why is that so crucial? Because the Bible tells us, we are not just physical being. We are spiritual being in a physical body. And that's why it is important that we develop spiritual bonding. And that is why my question to all of us is, do you bother to be intentional in praying with your children? Studying the Bible together with your children? Have you introduced them to Jesus? If you want real oneness, real intimacy, you need to incorporate the spiritual aspect of oneness. And that is why parents have to realize we need to capitalize on all of these opportunities in developing intimacy. I've requested my son and my daughter-in-law to share with us how we've applied this in our family and how they are now applying it in their family.
Greetings. Jenny and I have been married for almost 18 years, and we're so blessed to be here with you today. You know, yesterday my daughter asked me, "Dad, are you going to work from home again?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Great, yes." And I asked her, "Oh, why did you ask? And do you like it when I work at home?" She said, "Yes, I love it." Just her wanting me to be at home, it really opens up the doors for an intimate relationship. If you want to develop intimate relationships with your disciples or with your parents or with your children, just want to be with them. And that's what I felt growing up. I knew my parents wanted to be with me. And even today, they're like, "Oh, you know, we wish we could be with the favorite people in our lives." And they say that constantly. And so affirming that you want to be with the people you want to develop intimacy with means so much to them. And the second element is really cultivating an environment of trust. Mm-hmm. And I felt that growing up. I could trust my parents with anything. It was their authenticity, you know, they were consistently joyful. I didn't have to guess, is dad and mom going to be in a good mood today? they were consistent. And they were consistent as human beings. They were consistently following Christ at the pulpit, at the office, at home. They were the same person. And so when I struggled with pornography, I could tell my dad and I could tell my mom. And they really helped me through that journey. They brought the computers out into the living room so that you know, everybody could see what you were looking at.
Yeah, I was blessed too to have great parents that were also very authentic with us. And I remember one particular time, my mom really opened up and just shared about her relationships growing up with boys in particular. And I remember that really helped me because I was struggling with relationships. Mm-hmm. And by her opening up and talking about her past, opened a door for me to also be more transparent with her.
And so, you know, both of us coming from great families, you would think that we would be great parents. And we were at a parenting or a family retreat, and the exercise was to ask your children, how have we hurt you? And in my mind, I was like, easy answer. We haven't hurt our kids. So I asked our kids, we were on the table, and I remember vividly, I said, how has daddy hurt you? And to my shock, all of them started to cry. My kids now are 15-year-old. I have four kids, a 15-year-old all the way down to a 6-year-old. And each of them had a specific example of how I had hurt them. And that's a great question to ask your children, your parents, your disciples. How have I hurt you? And as they share with you and open up, listen to them, which is what we did. And then we apologize. I apologize. I had hurt them more than Jenny had. And, you know, that's what God does. When you come before Him with humility and the power of His Holy Spirit, He opens the doors to rebuild intimacy.
They always say, right, the mother sets the temperature in the home. Yes. And I think, you know, if I'm uptight, if I'm irritable, if I'm stressed, you know, the kids pick up on that. And so I realize that can really close off intimacy and a closeness with my kids. And so that's something that God has really been convicting me in, is to really be predictably joyful and to really set the mood in our family where it is an environment where the kids feel that they can share, they can talk, they can break things, and mom's not gonna flip out or freak out. But it's an environment where they feel safe and secure. Mm-hmm. Recently, I asked my son, you know, because I wanted to know too, you know, how are we doing in the area of communication? And, you know, it took him some time to really share with me how he felt. And eventually he said, you know, Mom, I find it difficult to really talk to you sometimes. And sometimes I don't even want to talk to you. And I felt kind of hurt because I felt like, you know, we have a good relationship and I feel close to him. But apparently to him, he felt like there were barriers. And maybe one of those barriers that was happening was just my mood. Hmm. And maybe how I was treating him or how I was reacting to him. Rather than having good open communication, I was shutting down those doors. And so after that, I really had to apologize to him. And I said, you know, sweetheart, I'm really sorry. You know, I really want to have a good relationship with you. I want to be able to, you know, for you to tell me anything and vice versa. And I asked him, can you please forgive me? Can you please help mommy, you know, to do a better job? And then I said, hey, you know, today, maybe can we go for a bike ride or for a walk or something like that? I would love to start, you know, taking out time to just really spend time with you so we can really talk. And he said, yeah, Mom, that would be great. And then just today I was grading his papers and the question on his paper was, you know, what brings you the most joy or how do you feel the most loved? And one of the things he said was, my mom and dad really taking time to talk with me. And I realized that's really what brings about intimacy, is taking the time to really listen and be a part of our children's lives.
Well, the good news is if you are in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ and you follow Him, He gives you His Holy Spirit and enables you to do that. You know, Jesus is the one that modeled intimacy for us, right? He broke down all the barriers when He died on the cross to pay for our sin. And because of what He's done in my life, I realize it's important for you and I to constantly reach out to people. And when you express interest in people's lives and create an environment of trust, that develops intimacy. So I want to challenge you guys, in Christ, there is no relationship that's hopeless. There is no family situation that's hopeless. In him, there is hope, there is restoration, there is redemption, there's forgiveness, and there is intimate relationships waiting for us. We just got to do our part through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God bless you.
Amen.
Praise God for the wonderful sharing testimony of Paul and Jenny. You notice something? You have to be intentional. You have to have communication. You have to open up. Share your own weaknesses. But the reality is, we need to earn their trust also. That's why I like to speak to parents, to all leaders, handle relationships with care. Relationships are fragile. You need to take care of it. For example, you can have a wonderful relationship with your children, but if you are not careful and you become careless, as they grow older and you start losing your temper, you start shouting at them, it will erode that intimacy. So be careful about losing your temper or shouting. Negative words, saying something that you are careless, it can wound their spirit. What about favoritism? Favoritism can impact relationship. It can impact intimacy. Be careful with gossip because they want to trust you. But if you start sharing with them what you heard from other people, do you think they will trust you if you're gossiping yourself? What about not keeping your commitments, not keeping your words? Children have this uncanny memory. I remember with my grandchildren, they will recall what I promise I will do. I am very careful to keep my commitment. I am very careful to keep my words. What about unresolved hurts? Do you just overlook them and hoping it will go away? And this is something that I always like to remind people. Be careful that you don't disrespect your children, even though they're still small. The Bible is very clear. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. I apply that to my own children. Do unto others, do unto them as you want them to do unto you. Even though they're children, you need to respect them. And you apply the same principle of respect with your friends, with your family, siblings, children to parents, friends to friends. You need to apply this principle, mutual respect. Realize conflict is inevitable. No one is perfect. No family is perfect. You will disappoint one another. That's the truth. By what you say, by what you don't say. And when people are disappointed, there will be misunderstandings. There may be disagreement. What do? This is where you need to learn these principles. If you want to develop intimacy, learn to restore relationship. Learn to restore friendship. How do you do it? Be intentional. You need to realize something has to be done. Learn to resolve it God's way. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23-24, the Bible tells us, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." I want you to notice how serious and how important reconciliation is. The context, you are presenting your offering at the altar. In other words, you are about to worship God. What can be more important than the worship of God? It's priority. But then the Bible says, "And there you remember that your brother has something against you." In other words, you realize something's not right in your relationship. Now, what are you supposed to do? Do you ignore it and just keep on worshiping God? Jesus tells us, don't do that. Leave your offering there before the altar. Whatever you are doing in the act of worship, stop it first. What must you do? First, be reconciled to your brother. Fix that relationship. And then come and present your offering. Jesus wants us to learn something. While worship is important, fixing relationship is part of worship. And God is saying, you want to worship me? Wonderful. Part of worshiping God is fixing relationship with brothers and sisters. Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Notice, as much as it is possible with you, be reconciled, be at peace. Implication, it may not always be possible. And the Bible tells us, never take your own revenge. Beloved, leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. For reconciliation to happen, you must willingly give up vengeance. You must surrender your right to be right. You leave that to the Lord. The Bible says, it's okay. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. You cannot force reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Paul is now speaking to believers, to those who are followers of Jesus. I implore you, I ask you to walk in a manner worthy. Now, what is that all about? Read the next verse. Notice, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As believers, we must know the heart of God, which is relationship. And the Bible tells us, with all humility, you need humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance. Be diligent. The word diligent has the idea of you do your best. Take every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Be sensitive to a wounded spirit. What is wounded spirit? In Tagalog, nasaktan. You wound. You hurt their feelings. Let me give you an example. What are the symptoms? If suddenly your children become quiet, they don't talk to you anymore. They withdraw. They try to avoid you. They avoid eating with you, with your friends. They stop replying. They're avoiding you. When they become critical, when they become sarcastic, and you are surprised, where are they coming from? Can I tell you? It's called wounded spirit. If you sense that something is wrong, into a practice. My wife and I practice this. Our D group practice this. Our pastors practice this. We practice this with our children. What are the three most important questions? Let's start with question number one. Sincerely ask, how can I improve? I remember we were in a family conference breakthrough. And I got all my five children and their spouses. Now, these are adults, 10 of them. We were having this exercise. How can I improve? I got the shock of my life when each one of them began sharing. I was hoping it would be fast because we have been doing this for many years. And would you believe it? Most of their suggestions, how can I improve, was not directed to my wife, but directed to me. And you know what they tell me? Dad, we like you to learn to listen more. My goodness, listen more. That's what they've been saying for the longest time. And then they added, we want you to spend more time with us. My advice is when they give you suggestions, keep quiet. Don't defend. Don't explain. I kept quiet. My wife kept quiet. Question number two. How have I hurt you? Man, this is scary. I remember one time I was driving with my son. He was already 30 years old. And I asked my son, how have I hurt you? And I got the shock of my life. My son was sharing what hurt him 15 years ago. And when I heard it, I reminded myself, keep quiet, don't defend. Of course, I had tears in my eyes. And I asked him, I said, son, will you forgive me? And brothers, sisters, this is why intimacy can be restored. The principle is this. You have nothing to prove, but everything to improve. So don't be defensive. Don't counter. Just listen. And when you ask these questions, you are providing a venue for them to open up. The moment you react, you shut down the door for intimacy. When you listen, and when you humbly accept, you open the door for intimacy. After listening to them, you must thank them. You must say, thank you for sharing with me. And you can add, I know it is not easy for you to open up, but I really appreciate this. And if you see me not doing the right thing, please come to me anytime. I really want to change. I really want to improve. The Bible tells us, now all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I want you to notice the following. The emphasis is the word reconciliation. The Bible tells us reconciliation comes from God. All of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. The key to reconciliation with God is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice the sequence. As we experience his reconciliation, we are to reconcile. We are to help others reconcile. In other words, the key to reconciliation is Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The most important aspect of reconciliation is forgiveness, not counting their trespasses against them. In order to restore relationship, it's foundational we forgive. But it is very difficult to forgive unless we experience God's forgiveness. And reconciliation with God is only possible because of forgiveness. And that's why Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31-32. Let our bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We have a problem with God because of sin. We need to be reconciled to God. And that is only possible through Jesus, because only Jesus paid the penalty of our sins. So reconciliation with God begins when we admit we have sinned against God and when we accept what Christ has done for us. And once we experience forgiveness, who are we not to forgive others? Once we experience God's forgiveness, we are able to forgive others. So my prayer is today, you'll understand the importance of reconciliation. You can see the importance of intimacy. And we really need reconciliation to experience intimacy with loved ones, with friends, with one another. If God has been speaking to you, and you realize you need first to experience intimacy with God through Jesus, I want to pray for you. A prayer whereby you will personally accept God's forgiveness, where you will accept God's means of reconciliation through Jesus. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I realize I have a problem. I've sinned against you. I need to be reconciled to you. I want to forgive others, but I find it hard to forgive. Will you, Jesus, come into my heart? I accept your forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for reconciling me to the Lord, to God. I now accept your gift of forgiveness, your gift of eternal life. Jesus' name I pray, amen. If God has spoken to you, perhaps you need to approach somebody and ask for forgiveness. Or perhaps you should be the one to forgive. Well, if God is speaking to you, I want you to respond in your heart and pray. And I want to pray for you also. Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding me to forgive whatever is the person's name. Tell God, Lord, I choose to forgive that person. Help me to forgive from the heart. If God has spoken to you that you should ask for forgiveness, why don't you tell Jesus also? Say, Lord Jesus, give me the strength and the humility to go and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I want to draw closer to you, but I cannot do it if I don't do my part to ask for forgiveness. So, Lord Jesus, I commit to you what I need to do this week. Guide me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.